Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Good morning, everybody. It is Tuesday morning. Welcome to the Chef Stuardo Show. I'm Stuardo. This is Foodomania, show 56. It's a diary, a daily diary, actually, of food service workers' routine, how we're getting through this period of time. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks to everybody that listened yesterday and some of the nice notes and some not so nice, but that's okay. That's part of doing a radio show. And even the ones that weren't that nice were not very bad. They were just some differences of opinion, which is important. All righty. Well, I want to also say good morning to my good, great co-host, Rhonda E., who's not with us today. And a very special person, and sadly she lost somebody this morning. Wasn't totally unexpected, but I'll let her talk to you more about it when she's back on the air with us. But I'd like to say well wishes and love to her and her family, and sorry for your loss, and hang in there. You're loved a lot. All right. So I said last night that today's show is going to be kind of important. And, of course, it's every day is an important day as, you know, we get through this stay-at-home thing. And you know that there's a lot of here's the percentage. This is really interesting. So imagine this. The population of the United States is, you know, quite large. And what you have is national media. So a huge percentage of the population is going to be able to turn on any news channel, radio, TV, whatever your belief is, whatever your political sway is. And here, the main story is what's going on. And the biggest story that's been going on the last couple of days, actually it's been going on for about a week and a half, is this certain push and rush to try to get the country open again, mainly for the economy. It's more important, you know, I think, than certain things by our fearless leader. But, of course, the economy affects all of us, myself included, being in the food business and all of us workers, you know, not being able to work right now and being in a very vulnerable situation at work, other than doing takeout, is even more against us. But these protests that have been happening for the last couple of days. And really, if you step back and look at the whole thing, I can understand, the one thing I can definitely understand, as always, including a certain population of supporters for a specific person in this country, you know, whether your beliefs are the same or not, people have a right to their beliefs. It's just when they make their choices based on things that honestly aren't true. In most cases. And sadly, if you watched any of the news reports, you'd see people who were arm in arm together, thousands, little kids, every age group. And the anger that was coming from all the people who were protesting, and the cockiness, and the, I guess, the naivete, or more than that, the ignorance, let's call it what it is, in most cases. And by the way, it's happened not all over the country. It's happened also right here in Washington State, too. And the biggest problem is really simple. You know, people have a right to know what they know and learn what they learn and be prioritizing their lives what we prioritize. But in this world, what that means when you're acting like you are about these protests, you're endangering my family, myself, all the seniors that I know and love all over this country, And anybody that's listening, your family's going to be in danger too. There's two ways to look at this really quickly. One, is this a big lie? Is it a big hoax? Or is it real? It's real. Because I have a good friend right now that's fighting a really hard fight to get through this physically. I have relatives and people in New York who have, some of them Holocaust survivors or kids of Holocaust survivors. They've been through the worst of the worst. Many immigrants. We have friends in Kenya, all over the world right now, and everybody's experiencing the reality that people they love are getting sick and they're dying. So opening the country is really, really important. Having these rallies with these several thousands of people, if you sum up all the different states, which is signing warrants of the end of their life, all for so many of them. And that's why I think it's really important, and that's why I'm talking about this. Again, when I keep wanting to not have the show be anything to do with politics, it's what it's doing is talking about my brothers and sisters out there in the food worker business. We're not working today because we are staying at home. We're isolating ourselves. And when those people go out in the streets and act the way they do, they're thumbing their nose up, and lots of them are food service workers, lots of them. Just be realistic about it. There's not enough time in this show, and I'm not going to use the last of my 23 minutes of this show, you know, going crazy and talking about things that are, you know, going to upset all of us. But the reality is, people, please, this is not making sense. Some of the governors, especially the governor in Georgia, well, he's announcing massage parlors, nail salons, bowling alleys, or some of the restaurants will be opening up for business. And that's going to happen by Friday. That's 3 days away. The restaurant's going to have enough time to figure out ways where they can only sit one or two people at a table, 6 feet apart. And if you have a small cafe that only sits 40 or 50 people, which is the average size of a small coffee house, and you can only have three or four people in there at a time, and plus a worker who's got to be behind the counter with a shield, a wait person possibly, who's also going to be wearing the same clothes for the most part. The only difference is maybe it'll be a gown, and maybe it should be a mask and gloves. Putting the food on a table 6 feet away so that person who's going out to eat can get up and walk over to the table and get their food. Does this make any sense to you, ladies and gentlemen? We're not ready yet. We don't have the testing in place. We don't have a way to know who's coming into the restaurant. We don't have a way to physically change our restaurant so it becomes a safe environment with barriers. And at the same time, a restaurant is supposed to take the time and money to build barriers and get plexiglass shields made to have four people or eight people at a time in the restaurant. It doesn't make any sense. Not yet. Now, if you read any of the reports and hear any of the doctors and the medical reports, you'll see, the biggest mystery that's happening right now, and this is the scariest thing, is that we're so under knowledge of how many actual cases there are. This is a miracle. You know, Mother Nature is a miracle because there are many, many people right now that have antibodies built up. They might be carriers, but they have antibodies built up in the system, which make them pretty much immune to this disease. That's good news. And the whole idea of therapy based on plasma and serum and testing people who have already gone through it to be able to come up with something that could be given to people to maybe build up the same antibodies is just not there yet. So all you're doing is we're playing with a loaded revolver. That's what we're doing if we go back too soon. All right, the point I'm trying to make on all this, people, if you decide to go back to work and everything feels safe to you, I'm happy for you. But please take every precaution and tell your kids and tell your friends to wear your masks and wear your gloves when necessary and wash your hands and keep doing that and stay far away from other people. For now, keep doing it. It's the only thing that's going to change. Now, we're talking about testing. But yesterday, over 12,000 kits that came into Washington State test kits had to be sent back because they were contaminated. So that puts us another week or so behind. I have a friend that has a retail business, and they closed down most of the business because they just wanted to take care of people paying their bills and this and that, but closed down the part where people could look at things and buy them. And for a long time, and I know that's hard for them to do. But then yesterday, I suddenly see an announcement that retail's back open. And they've made some changes in the place to make it safe. I know these people for 25 years, and I know they've worked their tushes off all week or the last couple of weeks to keep their business going and take care of things. I know that if they're open, they're going to do it completely safe. And luckily, the physical setup of that place that they have, it's got a big parking lot, big glass windows and doors, so they can really monitor people coming in a couple of times, you know, one at a time. They'll have sanitizer and all this other stuff built up, you know, so people could really, really take every precaution. And still it's a risk, but it's a safer risk than opening up a bowling alley or opening up, you know, a massage parlor or a nail salon. How are you going to do somebody's nails from 6 feet away? It's a problem. The big thing that happened today was an article that came out by one of the leading, you know, at least the television doctors. I trust this guy, Sanjay Gupta from CNN. And he's this guy is sort of a voice of a lot of the people in the industry of media that maybe are sick. And he's been riding on the horse right next to a lot of people who are going through this every day. The guy's probably slept 2 hours a day for the last 6 weeks. And he came out with a really important article about restaurants today. He was talking specifically about how it's going to be difficult to mitigate spread of the virus in restaurants because there's so many contamination points. Even the people that are staying there right now and doing takeout, like the one or two employees, are they leaving the restaurant and going straight home, not making contact with any other people, not checking in on relatives, maybe not stopping at the grocery store, and then going home and then getting up in the morning and going back to the restaurant, taking the same path? And then they're coming in and they're making our food. Now, there's nothing that's come out yet that really substantiates if food is a contaminant or certain ways that you're going to pick up your to-go order and you're going to be in danger. And they've worked on it. They said that sometimes the virus could adhere to metal. Possibly restaurant to-go places are eliminating metal containers, a lot of takeout containers for hot food, and maybe going towards paper products, eliminating tin foil, changing the gloves as much as you're supposed to do when you're just cooking under normal conditions. Now it's even more important. And I've worked with some of the greatest cooks in the world who are a little lazy about the glove thing. So they wash their hands quite often. There's a rule in place for a reason. They're also talking about what I talked about earlier. Can people enter a restaurant? Can they sit down at a table? Is there enough time to completely disinfect the table? Because remember, when you're eating at a table, you've gotten droplets coming out of your mouth. You're having a conversation. You're talking and spraying. It's normal. Are they going to be served in complete paper products that are going to be put in a bag, and then you're going to have to take that out yourself? You hear what I'm saying? It's a huge contaminant. Same thing with nails. I can't see how during the stay at home and the keeping the distance socially right now you're going to be able to have a nail salon. Bowling. I know I worked in a bowling alley for years. They don't have a full-time person scrubbing every aisle, every ball. You know, bowling alleys usually have a tavern or something associated. People are going to be drinking, laughing, droplets all over the place, touching their face, touching the bowling ball. Are they going to wash every bowling ball and stick a rag into the holes in the bowling ball and make sure it's totally clean before the next people come in? And, you know, bowling is usually, you don't go there by yourself. You're usually there with a couple of people, right? You're usually there with a whole family or maybe a league. You know, everything is just too new, ladies and gentlemen. It's too soon. It's too soon. I think we need more time. I really do. I have a very, very good friend who has been, you know, not feeling too good for the last month or so, and they got through their what was diagnosed as a slight flu cold, and they're going back. They're finally going back to work in the next couple of days, and they're going back to an assisted living facility where the sister. Facility. They have about five or six of them, but one of them was one of the first cases in Skagit County of being somebody who was positive for the virus. Now, in the 5 or 6 weeks since that happened, nobody had passed away, and from what I understand, there had been no new cases in their facilities. But, you know, they've changed the way people can enter those buildings. There's no visitors. Staff, same thing, tired, working overtime hours. What are they doing when they get off work? Are they being put in a bubble, shipped home, put in a sleeping pod, woken up, automatically showered like a car wash, dressed automatically, and then floated miraculously back to the same facility? No, that's not happening. So the point is, it's all a personal decision. It's all a personal decision on how you decide. Now, listen, I feel like we're all like in a zombie movie. It's awful. Yeah, I could get out and I can mow my lawn. I can work in the garden. I can be home working on projects. I can take a walk. I can make my early morning trips for supplies if I need to. But I can't hang out with my friends. I can't play music with another musician. Not really. Unless we play out in the park someplace, which is also good. Singing with scarves over our face so we don't blow on each other when we're harmonizing. It's not like it was 2 months ago, ladies and gentlemen, and summer's coming. I'm hoping that by the time the middle of summer comes along, and believe it, it's only the middle of April, so we have a few months, that things will calm down enough that we can safely enjoy our lives, that we can be back to work even if it's only part-time. That we can have better days because during all this time we took care of all those little projects at home that we kept, you know, procrastinating about because we were working too many hours. So now we'll go to work and we won't have that much to do home coming home except to enjoy our homes. So there's some good sides to all this, you know. When I said that this is an important show, this is what I'm talking about because you out there are important. I'm important. We're all important to somebody and hopefully to ourselves. There's a very interesting little thing that happened. I got something, you know, I'm getting some different things sent to me. And a cousin of mine who actually I haven't seen him for many, 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 many years, but we keep in touch, you know, through the internet a little bit. And he's, happy to say he's a producer and he's into audio and all those things. And evidently very, very good at it. Heard and connected to some of the things he's done. But I don't know if he found it, but he did post it and cleaned up some audio from a hot mic that was in the press room right before the news conference yesterday. And it was really interesting. There were two guys, one fellow, he's working at, obviously, he looked like he was putting some signs up on some chairs. And then somebody comes from the famous door that all the dignitaries walk through every day. How you doing? And he says, oh, I'm fine. The other guy said, you know, you don't have to wear your mask. You know, the numbers came out 0.1, 0.3. In other words, the contamination factor around there is lower. And then he talked about some kind of other numbers and stuff. And then the last thing he said, well, we don't have to worry. We're all vaccinated, so it's okay. That came up on the hot mic. What do you mean by that? We're all vaccinated. White House officials. I was silent. I had to listen to now the person that did this. Then they had a loop. So the second part, it played again. And the second time it had chyron or lettering, captions. So you could really clearly read and also hear what they were talking about. And then on the third pass, they had both. They had the captions, they had the audio, and then they flashed a press sheet. Actually, basically just a talk sheet from what was about to happen with the press conference. And what it said on there is amazing. And you had to blow it up because it was only a split-second frame. And luckily, I was able to freeze it and then copy it and then blow it up so I could read it. And I won't get into the total details about it right now. I'll save that for tonight's show because that would give me today to do a little bit more research. But the numbers and the statistics and the way they're going about this and the reality summed up to one thing. It's way too early to not do the staying in place. To give you an idea, an approximate estimate of about 60,000 positive cases, with this math and the testing that they're doing behind the scenes, it's better estimated in this one specific state as 441,700 cases. When we're seeing it on the news, it's only less than 60,000. So, folks, all I could tell you is what I'm not going to live a life of shelter, and I'm not going to put the blankets over my head and hide. I want to go back to work more than anybody, and I've actually had some offers, but unfortunately, the situations based on my physical situation will not provide a safe enough environment for me to do that right now because I'm high risk, and I'm certainly not proud of it. Last night, I had to read an article about asthma connected to the virus and all the things that asthmatics have to think about and probably get ourselves in the best shape possible while we're doing this. Means no, smoking. I don't smoke. No cats. No things that's anything that's your trigger. Get rid of it. Get away from it. Make sure your medicine's in good place. Every time you have a shortness of breath, which I have at least 15 or 20 times a day because of my asthma, it's pretty bad. So I've learned over the years how to calm myself down, how to take it easy, and then use the medicine that I need to use, and hopefully get that rescue sensation. I'm not a coffee drinker. I really haven't had much coffee in most of my life. I have a beautiful collection of espresso machines and things based on my restaurant world. And I lived in Italy and Spain, and I love some of the old little handmade coffee makers. But I do have quite an incredible automatic espresso machine and a couple of different ones. I have the old pump kind, the hand pump, and also a really great automatic one. And I got it specifically so I could provide, when I'm doing all the cooking and stuff and the wood firing, I want to be able to my guests a really true espresso. And so I do that or make them a latte or whatever. And I've been doing that for years and years and years. And I find myself in the last month and a half, and actually it started about 6 months ago at work, having maybe 4 to 8 shots of espresso every day. And I'm somebody, believe me, I don't need coffee. It's like it just has that effect on me. If I drink a cup of coffee, I'm going 300 miles an hour. I'm already going 150. Anyway, here's my point. My point is it's an asthmatic situation. They're giving you sort of a roadmap if you're an asthmatic and how to try to take care of yourself and get yourself in shape. And there are a lot of people out there that may not even realize that they may think they have an allergy or maybe they do have asthma that haven't been treated. Child asthma is very, very spooky. Anyway, I'm saying all this stuff again because I want us to think about being really, really careful. And those of us who are working every day, friends of mine that are out there, they're taking, at least the people I know, they're taking incredible steps to not only be safe for themselves, of course, but be safe for all of us. And I just keep my fingers crossed that somebody could say, well, what's happening today is the governor of New York, who I really think has got one of the best handles on all this stuff, is meeting with the president today. And I'm hoping that something rubs off on the leader in chief, which basically would be so great if certain words could come out of that person's mouth to the rest of the United States ease it down a little bit and slow down. You know, that's not going to happen. I mean, the chance of it happening are pretty slim. But, you know, millions of us can't be totally crazy, totally be socialist or communist or really leftists just because we don't agree with somebody who basically, you know, is not doing the job. Hey, listen, I have an ability to talk about that because being from Brooklyn and being raised in New York, I'm very familiar with this specific family and their ongoing stuff that actually started happening in the 50s and what's been going on and why this person is the way they are today, which is similar to the way they've always been. And a certain person's father was the same way. And, you know, I can talk about it because I have a huge history. Just be careful what you guys watch and what you listen to. All right. I've probably managed to get you guys all crazy for this morning. It is going to be a nice day. I'm hoping that you get out and take a safe walk and just enjoy it and do something you really like today. For all of you Better Call Saul fans, last night was the finale. I've been a big fan of that show since the beginning, as well as, you know, of course, Breaking Bad. Brilliant directing and writing and acting. It's really one of those shows you got to watch several times. There's so many layers. But, you know, the best thing about the finale for me is it's obvious that there's going to be another season. And, you know, it's just really quite great. So if you get a chance to binge that now, they're all available. You can binge them. If you don't have AMC, you can sign up for Sling TV, and you'll get like 7 days free, and you can watch all of Better Call Sauls. And then continue with Sling, because it's a fairly decent deal if you don't want to pay the huge cable bills and you're only interested in certain channels. It's a really good deal. All right, so be it. That's the end of that. Thank you for listening, everybody. Again, we wish love and support to everybody out there, people that are well, people that, of course, aren't well, and to everybody who's possibly lost somebody. I can't mention his name, but I want to say a special hello to my good buddy who's fighting this really intensely down in Seattle. And we're thinking about you. I want to say the same thing to everybody else who has a loved one right now that is struggling. We have each other to rely on. And that's the greatest thing about everything that we're doing right now. That's the great lessons that are being learned, and that's how we're going to make a difference when this thing is all over. We'll be better people. All right. That's what I know. So, of course, you know, my favorite song to play at the end of every show is when we have to look through those windows to see our friends and neighbors and loved ones. This is the Hollies. See you tonight at 10.